Let's go to Psalm 2:1. I'm going to get right into this because I want to connect everything I just said. That was good. Praise God. We have a guest speaker this Sunday.
Yeah.
Powerhouse from Tyler, Texas. Mrs. Wallace will be preaching to y'all this Sunday. Jesse. Yeah. Jesse's a powerhouse preacher.
Yes, she is.
What I like about Jesse is that she lays it out so everybody can get it. Oh. And she's country like me, so I really like it. We get it, don't we? Praise the Lord. So it's going to be really good. The dream team, the girl dream team, me and Deb and Amanda and Danny are going to Quinlan, Texas to see our friends, Casey and Parrish. They're doing a women's conference called Enjoy. And so, I'm supposed to do something with that. And then the next day I'm going to preach in the church. So, I know you'll be praying for us. It's going to be good. And then Casey and Parrish are coming back here this year. Pastor Brandon and Jennifer will be up here. Pastor Derek and Jennifer will be here. Pastor Bert's coming this year. Riley and Kim are coming this year. So, we've got some good folks lined up, and I'm believing God for Pastor Nancy. And you know, I'm praying about, Bobby Connor. I'm praying about him. And he's not exactly in our camp, but he's a miracle guy. So I'm praying about that. He's come up to me two or three times. Psalm 2:1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. I want you to remember that word, derision. Now here's another version. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, people? Earth leaders push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers. Let's get free of God, cast loose from Messiah. Heaven-throned God breaks out laughing. At first, he's amused at their presumption. Did you get that? Then he gets good and angry. Fiercely, he shuts them up. Good news. Here's the good news. God made Jesus the anointed one, the king. And he's not giving up his position.
That's right.
Amen. Notice it said there that God laughs. God laughs. Church, no imagination of Satan can destroy humanity through some demonic manipulation of kings and rulers and rich people who get together to try to decide what is going to happen to God's people or even just the people of the world. They will not win. You're like, well, it sure does look like it's boiling down to something. Well, if you want to know what it's boiling down to, figure out the ages. Figure out where we're sitting in the ages. When we get to the 7,000th year, you want me to tell you when that is? 2030. 2030 will be the flip of the millennium. From the time Jesus was crucified on the cross until then, the Bible says in 2 days he will revive us. That's 2,000 years. So when did Israel get revived? 1948. Guess who was born in the first 1948? Abraham. That's right. Abraham was born in 1948. Back then. The first 2,000 years. You see that? Isn't that interesting? Abraham's descendants got their state back. They got a state. They got their country back in 1948, right? They became a state again. Mm-hmm. So they've been revived. So they're at the end. Mm-hmm. And so we're about to roll into, what does it say? In two days he will revive us, and on the third day he will do what? Raise us up. We are so close. We're so close. Jesus is coming. Die. Well, I don't believe that. Well, go look it up for yourself. If you come up with something different, tell me. Praise the Lord. But you know, when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, people, he's coming against God. He's coming against God's people. Satan tried through kings to kill two babies, Moses and Jesus. I just imagine God sitting up there just laughing. You lose. You can't take them out. And he didn't. It was a failed plan. And all those scriptures that I just read to you, I want you to remember those scriptures. They culminate into Revelation 11:18. The nations were filled with wrath, but the time of your wrath has come. So see, the nations have wrath. Y'all saw recently where, what's the sweet guy who goes around, he's got the big brown hair and he goes in, who is he? What's his name? Where's Danny when I need her? What's that guy's name who goes around and talks about universities and all that? And Charlie Kirk. So
oh, yeah.
Thank you. See, I need her. So Charlie Kirk had a meeting and I'm telling you, they were breaking glass, throwing stuff. All of the devils came out. He didn't care. They lied about him. They said that he was talking evil about, you know, trans people and all that. He doesn't say stuff like that. He didn't talk like that. But so they just, so you could just say, ah, so you can see how the nations just, they're in wrath. But this scripture right here says that one day it says your wrath has come. God's wrath has come. It's time to judge the dead and reward the servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your name. From least to greatest, it's time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Now, church, there's something I want you to understand. You are not appointed to wrath, says the scripture. Thessalonians says you're not appointed to wrath. You've been born again. You're not appointed to wrath. People talk about, well, I'm going through the tribulation. I'll go through the wrath. You have no idea what you're saying. We're talking about something that has never been released on the earth before. What wrath is it's an exterminator. He's not trying to hurt people. He's trying to rid the world of darkness. So the people that hang on to the bugs or hang on to the darkness, there's extermination going on there. It's a person's choice what they want to do. So don't start blaming God for being mean. Eventually, he has to take care of things. And so in the tribulation, he will pour out wrath. So I just want you to understand that. Anyway, God laughs. Every victory that you win in your life is hinged on this great plan of redemption that will continue, church. It's going to continue until Satan is bound. This is ongoing. This is something that is ongoing. Ephesians 3:10 says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So here's what I'm telling you. You're laughing. You're rejoicing. Is a sign to the unseen heavenly realms, heaven and hell both, that what God has planned will come to pass.
Praise God. Amen.
We were with LaDonna yesterday, and she was telling us a story. We were at a pastor's house sitting out on their back porch, and she was telling a story about her neighbor. And LaDonna, through the power of God, got this exact place she wanted to live. And then she got this neighbor lived there, and she never did get to see the neighbor. But come to find out, the neighbor had done two surgeries on both knees, was in horrible pain, and wasn't seeming to be getting any better. So she finally got the neighbor over to her house, and she said when the neighbor began to talk about her pain, she said, I couldn't help it. I felt like I wanted to laugh. Have you ever felt like that in a situation like that? I have. Well, she said, because she's laughing like God's laughing. Oh no, devil, you're not getting this lady. So anyway, she ends up ministering to her, taking her to the house, playing music for her as she does so well, and the lady got healed. All the pain went away. But she wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing. Where some people may misunderstand that, you have to know that at times the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to laugh at derision. A derision at the enemy's plans to kill, steal, and destroy. Ha, 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 devil.
Amen.
Ha! That's how we would do it. Ha! You lose. Amen? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. Church, you laugh in triumph. This is faith now. We're still talking faith as we're going through this stuff. When you laugh in triumph, a sweet smell of victory rises. And it rises into the nostrils of the Christians and at the same time to the defeat of the enemy. It's rising up. Think about this, church. God got the last laugh when Jesus was raised from the dead. He got the last laugh. That was absolutely it. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:8 said, which none of them of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They messed up. They messed up. They're like, oops, we made a mistake. It's over now. God knew what he was doing. He knew how to play the enemy. And that's something that we do need to understand. God doesn't cause these things, but he sure uses them. And when he already knows that the enemy is going to try certain things. And when he tries these things, then God will turn it to good all the time. Amen. And it's kind of like a chess game. You got to get every player into the right place to take them out so they can't protect their king. And you get them into the right place and you've got checkmate. And God knows how to checkmate every time. Every time. He's got it every single time. So, you know, laugh at your enemies such as sickness or poverty or fear. And that's one way that you're actually enforcing your authority that Jesus gave you. Ha ha, you lose. Yep. You know, did anybody ever take judo or taekwondo or any of that? Anybody ever? Okay, so what was the main thing they said? Don't let the enemy see you flinch. Right. You don't ever. You stand strong. That even if they hit you somewhere hard, you don't buckle.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Right. This is how we are. So we laugh at our enemies. Church, your enemies are God's enemies. Yes. Mm-hmm. Acts 4:24, I want to read that to you. I'm going to read down through Acts 30. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. Now they were being persecuted, okay? They're being persecuted. So this is how they're reacting to persecution. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. By the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Okay, so they're quoting that first scripture that I quoted to you a minute ago. Okay, they're quoting Psalm 2 here. So they're while they're praying, they're quoting scripture to God. Okay? Say, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before them to be. So see, here's God using it. They're being stinkers, so God's going to start making the plays here. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that interesting? Things change. So you see, they quoted that same verse there that we were reading, and it brought freedom. Amen. It brought freedom to them. They're quoting the scriptures there that said God laughed. Huh. Okay, y'all here?
Yeah, we're here.
God's laughing about it.
Right.
Okay, they're being persecuted. So they were persecuted. They didn't care. They made a statement like this. Well, we're just worthy to suffer this because we're doing what's right. So they didn't care. I've always been told, and I believe the scripture verifies this, New Testament scripture, that when you get persecuted, just do a little dance.
That's right. That's
Just do a little dance because you're doing something right. If you're getting persecuted, you know that the enemy knows your name. If nobody ever says anything about you, they don't know you exist. The enemy's not paying any attention. So I just counted all joy. One joy, two joy, three joy because, praise the Lord. So, but they prayed for boldness. Jesus said, rejoice when you're persecuted. That's what he said. God shook the place. He supplied their needs. Now, this is what we need to understand. Jesus' victory is still unfolding. Okay? It's still unfolding. God, he's a great judge of all, who through Christ's work on the cross has destroyed principalities and powers, made a show of them openly. We all know that. Amen. Right? So there's a constant unfolding of the victories or the victory that was won on the cross. You know you see them in your life. This is coming off of, I just felt the Spirit on that. This is coming off of that one thing. This is coming off of the resurrection. Amen. The power in your victories is coming off still, unfolding from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's still unfolding. So when you put the enemy under your feet by laughing in derision, you're overcoming because you're acting like God. Yeah. That's my famous laugh right there. I'll hear this stupid thing. I'm walking through the house or something and he'll say, oh, and I'll go, no. Mm-mm. No, you're not going to get me on that. You're not going to get me on that. I'm not taking it. Amen. I refuse that in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know when it's something's from the Holy Ghost, when it's conviction, and you know when it's just the devil rattling off some fear thing. He's a liar. Amen. So every battle you win is a part of this great plan of redemption, and it's utterly going to cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of the universe. He is the King. He is the reigning King. He will continue to be the reigning King. And, you know, from heaven's perspective, there is complete victory. You know, I can imagine some of the folks standing in the grandstands that are praying for us, you know, the cloud of witnesses. Some of them are going, if they only knew. If they only knew what's right ahead. And some of them are probably going, don't turn off, don't turn off, don't turn. You're almost there. Can you imagine them doing it? It's kind of like, catch that ball, catch that ball, catch that ball. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because it's right. From heaven's perspective, it's a done deal. You've already won. You're already healed. You're already blessed. You're already prospering. Your kin folks are already coming to the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
The victory is big enough to cover your situation. What happened in the resurrection is big enough to cover anything and everything that you need. Nothing can compare to the triumph of Christ Jesus. Nothing can. And so, in the view of these facts, that we have been raised to sit with him in heavenly places, we can laugh with him in our deep respect for his great wisdom and power. This is about respect. Amen. Hey, if God Almighty is laughing, we should laugh out of respect even if we don't get the joke.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You know, there's a dignitary that you might eat with and they tell a joke, let's dial back a little bit. Maybe you were eating dinner with Ronald Reagan. We'll go there. So kids will tell you who he is later. Anyway, so he was a great president. And so if he told a joke, you're going to find some way to go, ha, ha, that's so funny. Or, you know, if Brother Copeland came in here and told a joke, you would just be respectful and you would just laugh. Well, God of the universe is laughing right now at the enemy. So I don't know if I get all the jokes or not, but I'm going to laugh with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's already seen the end. He already knows what's going to happen. God always sees ahead, and he always makes provision for us. Ha, ha, ha. He makes it. All things work together for good. I know that gets thrown around a lot, There is a truth to it. And sometimes they pull wrong scriptures for that. And I won't go into that. I'm real dogmatic about that stuff. But, you know, look at Joseph. Look at Joseph. He turned off that. All of that wasn't necessarily necessary. Can I say it like that? But God's favor and his grace is available to you. And he's turning your life in a new direction toward blessing. That's what he's working on with us right now. He's wanting to turn your life toward more blessing right now. That's what he's doing right now. He wants to, the blessing is on you. He's trying to turn you in that direction. He did it for Joseph. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And listen, well, I'll leave that alone for right now. Maybe I'll talk about it in a minute. We'll come back to that. Isaiah 43:18. Can you put that up there for me, Shadrach? Isaiah 43:18. I want y'all to read that with me. It's important. Praise the Lord. Got it? Is it up there? Okay. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is a good word for us because we're in a new time. We are right at that sliver of time where things are so different in this world. And yet we are perfectly in the right, we're placed in the right place to watch the blessing of God be poured out on our lives, and God can use us in this world. Amen. It's just the truth. We're right there, and this can happen to us. God's great favor, his grace is available to us to turn us into that blessing. And so, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to say this now. I was going to wait a little bit, but if Joseph dwelled on his mistreatment, he would have never stepped through those new doors.
Wow.
Maybe I better say that again. Yeah. If he dwelled on being mistreated, well, my brothers threw me away. Daddy didn't come looking for me. And then I went over there to the Potiphar's house. And she lied about me. And I was trying to be good, and she lied about me. And then they threw me in prison, and then I interpreted all their dreams, and they forgot about me. He could have been mad for years. But it wasn't. He didn't focus on the mistreatment. He's laughing at the devil. God, he stuck to the things he saw in his vision. Now this is what I saw. So this is how it's gonna be. This is what I see. So this is how it is. This is what I see. Victory. This is how I see. We have victory. This is what I see. We have triumph. This is what I see. We're healed. This is what I see. Whatever needs to be corrected can be corrected. Whatever needs to turn around can turn around. Amen. That is what I see. We need to see it like Joseph saw it. Amen. And listen, you have to expect God to turn things for you. Expect it. Lord, you know that right there needs to turn around. And that needs to turn around, and that needs to turn around, and something in here might need to turn around, whatever it is. But God's ready to do new things. Some people have done so much old things for so long, they don't even know what a new thing could look like. Well, peek out the window, because it's going to be good. God's got something for you. It's bigger. This has been rolling around in my spirit. You're bigger than you think you are. You're more important than you think you are. Just your presence in certain places can change atmospheres. You don't even have to say anything, and the anointing on you. And then when you do open your mouth, if you do it right, I just have to say that, you know, that's part of pastoring. But you know, I mean, there's the power right there. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes. God can do this. He can make a way. Yeah, listen, how would you act if you had a turnaround? Would you go, well, okay.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yippee, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. What a great turnaround. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. That's what you do. You'd be excited. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. John 16:24 said, up to now you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be full. Ask him. Lord, I need a turnaround in this and I'm believing for it right now. I believe I received this turnaround in Jesus' name. I take it today. I receive it today. I thank you for it, Lord. Turn around in my finances. Turn around in my health. Turn around in my relationships. Turn around in my clients. Turn around in my itinerant, whatever it is. Glory to God. He can do it. But you need to ask him for it and then stay on the page where you're grateful for him. You know, how do you act when prayer is answered? How are you acting? Well, thanks. No. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you may not have to leap 12 feet off the ground and do a plie or something, but you're excited. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. I still to this day, I'll talk about this even out there. So this beautiful congregation gave me a Henry 410 shotgun for pastor appreciation. I was so glad. I stood up out of my seat. Glory to God. Look at that. I was excited about that. I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, I was excited about that. So you're like, why does a girl love a gun so much? I don't know, but we like them too. Amen. It's just, and I think it'll be a great inheritance for Carter. Praise the Lord. You know. Just something that I thought was something special. Yeah. There's things that people have just given me. Remember Catherine? She came to church here for a long time, but she moved away. She gave me this pen. I have it right in here. It's a really special pen. I use it every Sunday to line my notes with. And it's so special to me. It's really nice. Yes. And so I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that she thought about me. And then all the moose stuff in the room.
Oh.
I'm just grateful. Aren't you grateful for when people loved you enough and they just gave you something?
Yeah.
Somebody brought me some eggs tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, you just speak, but God, it's that easy with God. And it's easy for turnarounds. It's easy for big things.
Yeah.
It's easy. Man, thank you, Lord, that Aunt Ethel got saved. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, that she got some life. Thank you that the ignorant are getting life. Listen, there's a difference between being ignorant and being stupid. People are ignorant. Don't get mad at them. They're ignorant. They don't know the word. But you can be thankful when that light does come on. It came on for us. We're not perfect. We don't know it all. The light still keeps coming on. We just follow the light as we go. But thank God, you're thinking, I don't know if cousin so-and-so is ever going to get any light. Yeah. This is a great awakening.
Yeah, they're
going to get it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, relatives, they're going to get it. Amen. God's doing a new thing. That was free. So, you would just say, I'd just be really happy. Well, if you got some, I'm just really happy. Well, then pray like that. You know, a lot of people are they're just praying like they're really just complaining to God. Lord, you don't do something. I came in here to talk to you one more time about this. That's not how it works. We pray in faith. Because we know we're going to get an answer. Psalm 30:11 says, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So just go ahead and get happy because we win. We win. Well, you don't know how lonely I am. You don't know how good of a friend Jesus is then because just start talking to him. You'll feel, you know, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So good. So faith just does that. Faith goes, you know what? We're going to win through this. You can get over things really fast when you go ahead and believe God that's going to be over anyway. Amen. You just go, oh, well, see, we got it. Praise the Lord. That's the end of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you're trusting the mercy of God to redeem your life and any time you've wasted. God can redeem the time you wasted. He can redeem it. Amen. Something too, when this is happening for you, there's something happening on the God side. When you're already rejoicing in faith, when you're laughing at the enemy in derision, when you're doing these things, something's happening in the realm. It's happening in the realm. And so he's just ready to give you exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Church, understand God's trying to get through to you. It's all the junk that keeps him out. It's all of us trying to do things out of our flesh that doesn't give him room to work. But if you can get that door open and leave that door open and let that light shine in, things will change quickly.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself now, but I'll run on through this. The prodigal son's father. When the prodigal son comes in, he's ready to give him new clothes, clean him up, give him new shoes, kill the calf, place a ring on his finger, and throw a dancing party.
Yeah. Praise God.
Wow. It's what he did. I mean, they got the DJ, they got a bunch of George Strait music. Couple of Fleetwood Mac. Actually, they got a lot of, he named my tove. They got a lot of Jewish music going. Just kidding about the other stuff. But they did have a dancing party. Amen. So he's all fixed up. He's ready to go. That's exactly what God wants to do for you. He wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants you to be, hey, listen, Mark Hankins said, if you can't dance, just scoot. You ever heard him say that? Hey, if you can't dance, just, you know, hey, he talks in that voice. If you can't dance, just scoot. So, you know, Brother Hagin just scooted. You could just scoot. Whatever it is you have to do. If you can't do the Cotton Eye Joe, you can do something. Praise the Lord. See, three people knew what the Cotton Eye Joe was. Now, just a show of hands, who knows what the Cotton Eye Joe? Oh, whoop, whoop. Okay, this is the country. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest turnarounds in the Bible is Elisha prophesying by this time tomorrow. Okay, 2 Kings 7:1. Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. Uh-oh. But Elisha replied, you'll see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. Because he didn't believe. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know those cowboy movies where you know, there's something happening out here. There's action in this one place, but there was something happening back at the ranch. Well, that's what's happening here. The four lepers are walking down the road. You know, lepers were messed up. Their limbs were all messed up. They're pretty rough. So imagine how hard. I mean, they're sitting there dying at the wall. Imagine them walking out to the Samaritan camp. I mean, it wasn't easy. We're walking out there. They're like, we're going. We've made it 10 feet. You know, they're getting out there. But when they get out there, they find that the Lord has run the enemy totally off. They're sitting in there, they're laughing, they're shouting, they're eating, they're looting. And then they start feeling guilty. We gotta go tell everybody else. We need to go tell everybody else. Go, the people are starving in the city. Let's go get them. And so, you know, it's a dream come true. They couldn't keep it to themselves. So they went back and they told everyone. But the one who said it couldn't happen was trampled in the gateway. So he missed the whole thing because he didn't believe God. He died that day. He never saw the turnaround. But everybody else did because they believed the prophet. I believe the prophet. I believe the word of God. I believe it's turnaround time. I believe today, tonight, this hour, before we leave here, God is turning things around for the people in this church, for the relatives of these people, for the hearts of the people in this meeting. You have a turnaround.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's turnaround time. They believe God and provision was back at the ranch. Amen. So what do you do when you get a turnaround? The Bible from the beginning to the end is full of turnarounds. That's all it is. Just turnaround, turnarounds, turnarounds. I mean, think about this. Funerals became celebrations. Water became wine. Sickness became joy. Money came to the fish's mouth. There was an angelic prison break. Whoop! I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Things happen. Things were happening and things, I mean, things have always turned around for God's people. I watched God turn so many things around in my life over and over and over and over. There's just been turnarounds, turnarounds, turnarounds.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So just as we're about to close here, I want to, I want you to remember this. When you have a word and you have one tonight, here's your word. It's turnaround time. It's breakthrough time. Things are going to turn around. Things are going to go our way. If we believe it. Don't be the guy that gets trampled at the gate. Okay? Go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to believe this. And laugh at the devil with derision. No. No. Ha ha ha, you lose. Right? So, but this is what you're gonna need to know. Even as we're sitting here tonight, if the situation looks impossible, I just want to tell you three things right here. Number one, don't doubt, just shout, and God will work it out. Don't doubt, just shout, and God will work it out. Amen. He'll do it. There's something about a shout. I'm not gonna go into it. I think some of y'all try to run when I talk about shouting. I don't know why. You do it at the football game.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. To me, that's a shout. But I just say, don't doubt. Just shout. We're going to win. We've already won. God will work it out. Number two, remember that a turnaround doesn't always take so long. It doesn't always take a long time. Sometimes I measure things. I'm kind of funny about that. Sometimes I measure it like when I say, Lord, now I believe this for these people. And I've seen it take 24 months. And there's some people I've seen it take a day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then with what needs to come to you, what needs to get to you, God can do it in 24 hours.
That is right.
It could turn around. It just depends on how you're going to use your faith. If you're like, well, you know, I don't know. That never happens to me. Well, you know, keep standing in the gate then.
Yeah.
Please don't. So remember, it doesn't have to take long. And then number three, when you experience a turnaround, don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell somebody. Tell one of us. We're going to have a meeting every once in a while called TNT. Tacos and testimonies. And as soon as I figure out how I can cook before we do this, we're working on it. Amanda and Danny are helping me figure out everything I need so I can get the tacos ready for y'all and then listen to y'all's testimonies. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, tell somebody about it. Cause listen, God not only has your need in mind, your act of faith might cause a whole family, a whole city, or a whole nation to rejoice and change. Just something that happens to you. Just one thing that goes your way. Think of the testimonies from some of the football players y'all know. That's changed people's lives. Y'all could name them. I don't watch football, so I don't know. I mean, but just think about how people's lives, people that have a big platform and they tell something and you're like, wow, that could happen. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It can happen. It can happen to you. Oh, they got healed and that's the same thing I need. Oh, they were broke too one time in their life and now they're not. I'm not going to live from paycheck to paycheck anymore. I can have that too. Or that wisdom they have, that's amazing. I want to have that too. Or the success that they have. Or those giftings. I want to have those giftings. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you hear it, when you hear the testimony, it's yours.
Amen.
Amen. So tell somebody about it. Your act of faith could change their life. It is never too late for a turnaround. It's never too late. It's just time to rejoice. I'm telling you, church, Jesus is coming. He's coming. You're like, oh, they've been saying that for years. Well, he's been coming for years. But he's coming to us every day wanting to bless us and turn things around. Our turnarounds, our blessings, our healings are a testimony to this world that our God is good.
Yeah.
It's not just all about me, myself, and I. God does it for us, and he's happy to do it for us, just like you do whatever it is for your baby. How many mamas have said, I wish I could take the pain myself. I don't want my baby to hurt. Guess who took the pain for you? He did it. He did it. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord. It's never too late. God can turn around, and this is what I'm going to prophesy to you right now. God can turn around a generation. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. Right now. Don't doubt it for a minute. I know we went through the squeeze of the matrix since 2020 until now, but I'm telling you, we're on the other side of that, and the awakening is here, and people have finally figured out that one thing will change America, one thing will change people's lives, and that is an awakening to God. That's what'll do it. Yes, we're patriots. Yes, we stand for the truth. Yes, we're voters. Yes, we do all those things. Those are all wonderful. We do our part as Americans, but we need to do our part as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that is use our faith and believe God and quit walking around all wimpy saying, God never did anything for me. And getting in discussions that you can't get out of, that are useless. And just tell people, God is good. He's done this for me. No need to argue with anyone. God is good. He loves us. The power of Almighty God is on our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We laugh in derision because the enemy is defeated. He's defeated. No. You don't win, devil. You don't win in this church. You don't win in our friendships. You don't win in our lives. You don't win in any relationship. You don't win. You don't win in our banks.
Right.
And we're not going to fear.
That's right.
God's got us.
Yes, he does.
You're not going to win in the stock market. You're not going to win in any of it.
That's right.
Anything that we put our hand to prospers. Yes. We are above only.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
And God will show you when to change what you need to change and do what you need to do. He'll protect you if you just listen. The world's done some crazy things, but God is still on the throne, and we are winning right now. We are living in a time of the glory.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the internet audience. We bless them. We thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for great turnarounds. Thank you, Lord, for things being released from this prophetic word of the turnaround. We believe that things are changing.
Yes.
And we believe that they're changing for the good. Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come in here and touch every person. Help. We ask for help. You said you would be our helper. For those who just can just barely get out of doubt, help them receive the word. Give them the strength to conceive like you did Sarah. In Jesus' name, that they would believe God, that they could turn around in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for it. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.